Heavenly Father, we want to please you this morning. So I pray for those who have heavy hearts that you lift them up this morning. Those who are filled with joy, that you double it. Father, it's an awkward day for many, particularly those who've had miscarriages or have lost children. I pray, Jesus, that you be the healing balm of Gilead, that you'll heal their hearts and bring a sense of progression in their lives. Not that they forget their children, but that they're able to move on and live with the hope of seeing them once again. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're 4 years old, up to fourth grade, you may attend Children's Church. It's our illustrious teachers. As I said earlier, and was mumbling while I was getting ready, I can hardly watch that. I do watch it too frequently, perhaps, because I do enjoy there's something in it that bonds me to the moment. And she says in there, I'm their mom. And she says, I'm their only mom, and I'm here to stay. And that was so powerful, because in a culture where mothers do not always stay, that they move on and move past everything, I think it's a powerful witness. And there are people who, your mothers are not alive. But we can say this, there's people in your life that come a close second to being that mother in your life, right? And I'm convinced that those who follow Jesus have more mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers than we could count. And there's places that you will go if you move and go somewhere else, someone will rise up to be that mother that you've needed. And they'll be that healing mother that you've needed. And I also pray that we have fathers and all that, but we'll talk about that at Father's Day. But I want you to come today to find that moment of healing and the moment of joy and thanksgiving as we look at that. And as you see the title today, it's entitled, Yes, Even Single Moms. And I'm going to cheat here and go through all this a second here. Yeah. I don't know how to do this, so. There we go. Okay. Voila. Okay, now I can do this, I think. Let me see here. That's what I get for practicing by myself and not paying attention here. Nope, still doesn't do it. Okay, we'll make it work. Interesting. Technology has its advantages when it's being difficult. The big idea is the Lord's heart is with the single moms, providing, sustaining, and defending them. I want to focus on single moms today. I think Jesus had a special heart for single moms. And it's interesting, the Bible does not talk about single moms. Have you noticed that? Anybody read through and found single moms? It doesn't. But what word does it use? Anybody know? Yeah, use widows. And a lot of times those widows are young women who have children. And we'll be talking about single moms when we talk about widows in the heart that the Lord has. I didn't do that. That's why it's not working. Aha. I figured it out. Boom. Okay, can you all see it now?
Yes.
Where's that been? You going to show us the password again?
No, I'm not going to do that. All right, we're here. Okay, can anybody read those statistics? It was really hard to get them.
Slightly,
yeah. Good, you can see the percentages. Out of about 10 million people who are single parents, 83% are mothers, 17% are fathers, and it's interesting, the fathers are not on the rise from being single parents. But right now, it's overwhelmingly single moms to single dads. The next statistic below that, pardon me, is that they've never been married. 49% have never been married, whereas 51% are either divorced, separated, or widowed. So it's pretty much almost 50-50, a little bit of a break there. Let's look at the jobs and their incomes. The first 23% have not had a job all year. This is from 2014, so this is a year ago statistics. 22% have received unemployment benefits. And then the average median income for a single parent is $26,000 a year. This is across the nation. Whereas the married couples, it's $84,000, a significant difference. And you would suggest by the next statistic, bless you, of the poverty level, many are below poverty level. Almost 40% were poor. 51% live in extreme poverty. So being a single mom is not an easy task financially. And it's very difficult. And 45%, almost 46%, are receiving food stamps. 11% are receiving cash subsidies or some kind of advancement on their cash. And the Lord's heart is for them. And I want to show you some verses. I'll read these. You can write these down if you don't have notes. Deuteronomy 10, 17 to 18. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien or the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Deuteronomy 24 says, when you are harvesting in your fields and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back and get it. Leave it for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all your work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time, but leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest your grapes, don't go back over the vines again. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I commanded you to do this. This is not handouts, but it's a hand up. You go back over your fields, you help people work for themselves, even in the single mom or widow situation. Psalm 68 says this: sing to God, sing praises to his name, extol him who rides in the clouds. His name is the Lord Yahweh, bless his name, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. And in Psalm 146, the Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. And in James it would say, if you want to be truly religious, then take care of widows and orphans. This is very dear to the Lord's heart. A ministry of widows, orphans, and strangers, and the poor. And who's poor sometimes? In single moms. Whether they're made that way by society or made that way by their own choices, the church still seems to have a responsibility. And I guarantee you, the Lord has a heart for these people who we call single moms. Let's read this together, the big idea. The Lord's heart is with the single moms, providing for, sustaining, and defending them. And we're going to look at, first of all, how the Lord provides for them. If you turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. And we'll look at a snapshot in Elijah's life and how the Lord is providing for single moms. And it's interesting how the Lord sets this up. 1 Kings chapter 17. Now Elijah the Tishbite in Gilead said to Ahab, he went and confronted the king, and then he ran away. In verse 7, sometime later, at the brook dried up. He was living by a brook, and ravens were feeding him because there had been no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came to him and said, verse 9, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath, when he came down to the gate, a widow was gathering some sticks. He called to her and said, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going in to get it, he called again, and bring me, a piece of bread. So here she is gathering sticks in the town square, and then she goes into her house. Verse 12, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replies, I don't have any bread, and only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jar, or a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal myself with my son that we maybe eat. And everybody said, and die. Did you get that? She's planning her suicide. She's planning her last meal. And the Lord sent her Elijah. She was hopeless. The area was dying. There was famine in the land and a drought. And she couldn't go on anymore. And perhaps you feel that way too, where you feel hopeless and locked up, and there are nothing you can do to solve your situation. But the Lord sends you somebody to provide for you. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me and from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. And so she obeyed the prophet. She went home and did as he commanded. So there was food enough for that day for Elijah, the woman, and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug and oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by the prophet Elijah. You've been there. You've been to the cupboard and it's empty. And you wonder where you're going to get your next meal from, right? You've been there. And then all of a sudden, the Lord provides. and he continues to provide. No, it's not the mignon. You know, it's not the great pheasant under glass, but it's just enough to get by. And you wonder how he does it sometimes. And I believe it's all miracles, but particularly in these situations, especially for single moms. And I'm convinced that Jesus has a heart for women, particularly his own mothers. He hung on the cross, and he made sure that the Apostle John took care of his mother, providing for her in her hour of need. And we don't know how long Joseph had been dead, but we do know that Jesus made sure that she was taken care of. Another episode for mothers sustaining, and it's Luke chapter 7. So if you turn to Luke chapter 7, another opportunity where Jesus shows compassion. He's just walking along the roadside, whether he happened to be there. We do know the Father sent him, and he does nothing without pleasing the Father. So he's pleasing the Father by walking along. In Luke chapter 7, verse 11, it says, soon after this, after the faith of the centurion was demonstrated, Jesus went to a town of Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. So they're walking along the road. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out. So out of the town was coming this funeral procession. He later discovered it was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. Say that with me. His heart went out to her. And he said, don't cry. And then he touched the coffin, the people carrying the coffin, and they all stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. And they were all filled with awe and praised God, and a great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help us, to deliver us, to provide for us. He's noticed us, his people. In verse 17, the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding towns. This woman did not ask for help. This woman had nowhere else to turn. Jesus saw her need, and he met it. Isn't that fascinating to you? Of all the stories that could be captured and placed in the Gospels, this one's captured here for us. And I find that just amazingly beautiful, because Jesus has a heart for single moms. Now, none of us can touch a funeral-bearing casket and make the child raised back to life again. Perhaps someone may be gifted to do that. I don't think so here. But you know what? We can do what we can do, can't we? And you don't have to know the person. You can just help them. You're in the parking lot, and you see a young lady struggling with children. And she's got to bring her cart back, and it's about 15 feet away. You say, hey, can I help you move that? Sure. What else can I help with? Now, to be sure, there's some freaky people out there, and you've got to be careful. But if you are gracious to them, you can help. Maybe their yard has been mowed in quite a while, and you notice the weeds are tall. What can you do? Yeah, turn them into Mesa County. And what? Well, they've given us warnings. Yeah, here, yeah. But we don't do that. What do? Yeah, mow the lawn. Go mow their lawn.
Love your neighbor.
Yeah, love your neighbor. Don't have to ask any permission. Just go do it. Well, I guess you should tell them what you're doing. Yeah, we had somebody offer to help babysit, and they thought they were taking their kids. No, we're babysitting. So there's some communication needs to take place, okay? We need to have some communication take place. But Jesus wants us to help sustain single moms and take care of them. And notice he defends them. Jump back toward the end of Luke in chapter 21. Luke 21, you know the story, but I want to repeat it for you again. Jesus defending the single, period. Whether they're widowed, whether they have children or not, we don't know in this case. As Jesus looked up, he'd finished teaching in the temple. He just debated the Herodians, and he debated the Sadducees and Pharisees. Okay? And he gets up and he says, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury, and he saw a poor widow put only two small copper coins, or a widow's mite, as you've heard it. And then he says, thus saith me, I truly say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Jesus defended her in front of her, and she had no idea Jesus was defending her. And I find this fascinating. Again, I don't know, my heart goes out to widows. and orphans, and single moms particularly. And I don't know if you like that video or not, but I just sense the struggles that normal women have, if you will, to have a husband. And then you don't have that, you take that husband out of the equation, what do they struggle with? And you take the mom out of the equation, it's even harder, right? So we do that, we take care because Jesus is going to defend you. So take courage, single moms. Jesus is going to defend you. Simple prayer that we have here. Heavenly Father, open my eyes to see the needs I can meet for the single mom. I know. In Jesus' name, amen. No, we can't do much. We don't have a lot, do we? But we can help in some way. And I know the Lord will give you the particular way He wants you to help if we pray this opening and freeing prayer. Let's do this together. Heavenly Father, open my eyes to see the needs I can meet for the single moms I know. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, point number one. Ready? Grandchildren, children of single moms, help your mother out. Tell everybody, help your mother out. No excuses. Help your mother out. Do what you can do. And don't wait to be asked. There's a verse, actually a passage I want us to look at, 1 Timothy chapter 5. It's often used to obliterate men, but the context is rather fascinating. And it's often used as a weapon more than a blessing. Let's look at verse 1. Paul's giving Timothy some instructions on how to organize the body of Christ at a local church. And he says this. Verse 1, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as you would a father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with absolute purity. That's why I've been praying about that this morning. To treat them with absolute purity. Verse 3, give proper attention to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should first of all put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to the Lord. It was pleasing to God, sorry. I've known people who they're 50 years old expecting their parents to take care of them. And I'm going, no, you got it backwards. You're supposed to take care of your parents now because they're in their 70s and 80s by then. Okay? Verse 5, the widow who is really in need and left alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. And that help is answered by the church, unless they have family. And it's supposed to be answered by the family. Verse 6, but the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Verse 7, give the people these instructions too so that no one may be open to blame. The church should take care of its own. Verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his own family, his own relatives, especially his immediate family, he is denied the faith, or is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. And again, this verse is used for men to provide for their family. I agree. But it's the wrong, bless you, it's not the direction we think it is. It's up and not down. In this context, we're to take care of our parents and our grandparents first and foremost, if we've already provided for our families. You don't impoverish your family to take care of them, but you do not neglect your parents or grandparents. And as I was studying this, I always used it backwards too. And so I find this fascinating, again, that this is what it is. To the rest of us, Jesus point number two, you do what you can to help out the single moms. Okay? Flip a couple pages toward the back of your Bible, Titus chapter 2. Do what you can. And I want to encourage what we call a Titus ministry, a Titus woman team ministry. And we need them desperately in our church. We need nursery help. We need people in general. We need Bible study. We just need women to help with this. Okay, I want to start in verse 1, chapter 2. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in faith, in love and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous. That's a nasty term there. They'd be gossipers. Or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they, the older women, can teach the younger women to love their husbands. That's a phileo love. Be loyal and affectionate. And their children. And to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be homemakers. to be kind and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Paul is telling Titus that he deals with the older women and the older men. The older women deal with the younger women. I make this a habit, and there's a lot of young women I don't deal with on purpose. I don't want to be in their home by myself. And there's a lot of times I cry out to the Lord to raise up a Titus woman, because there are a lot of women in our congregation, many are not here today, who need a Titus woman to meet those needs. We need it. And I'm praying that you join me in prayer to pray them in or pray them up, whatever direction you want to use for your preposition there. Okay? Because they will get frizzled out and they will get frazzled up and they will fall through the cracks. And it's, as a shepherd, as a pastor's heart, it's hard for me not to deal with it. For ShareFest weekend, we had a woman that called the church and I talked to her for 40 minutes. And she just needed some food. And I found out she was single, home, and alone. What do I do? So I went to someone else's house who was donating the food, picked up the food, and I stood at the door. She invited me, and I tried to stay by the door, handed her the food. She hugged me twice. I stayed by the door, and I left. But I should have been with somebody, but I had nobody to take with me. We need women to help do these kind of things. I found out she's a 54-year-old widow. Her husband just died and she's freaking out. She had kids and family, but they are all turned against her from what she told me. I didn't investigate it because I had the food right then and there. But I do normally investigate things like this. And my first question is, why isn't your family helping you? And if there's good reason, then I go have your family help you. And I try to do that very consistently over the many years of pastoring here. But I need help with the Titus woman. So please join me in praying. And the third and final Jesus point is, do we as a church need to be more organized, a more organized approach to meeting the needs of these widows? And I leave that as an unanswered question, but I will look at Acts chapter 6 with you. Beginning in June, we'll be going through a series of book of Acts called Pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll do a more in-depth study in Acts chapter 6. We will start next Sunday Fractured Family Fables. And if you got the Out and About this week, you will notice this picture is almost like the one they used in the Out and About. So kind of thought that was fascinating. But in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in those days the church had grown great, the number of disciples was increasing, and the Hellenist or Greek Jewish people or among them were complaining against the Hebrew Jews. So there were those who had more Greek practices and those who had more Hebrew practices, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of the food. They were taking care of the widows, but somehow they felt cheated or gypped, or they weren't getting enough or were overlooked completely. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it's not right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. That's not an arrogant statement. That's not a pugnacious or ostentatious statement. That's just a statement of division of labor. The pastoral staff should be out there praying and ministering the word of God and not waiting on tables. So they said, brothers, verse 3, choose 7 men from among yourselves who are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Don't just choose anybody. Choose somebody who's qualified. And we will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased their whole group of people. So Stephen, a man full of faith, was and full of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, and the rest of these guys are named here, were chosen by the people. My point is, and like I said, I'll go more depth in this in a few weeks, or actually probably in August. Do we need a more organized view of meeting widows and orphans? We have several widows and orphans, and widows and orphans defined by us is if they've never been married and they have children, if they've been widowed, or if they've been divorced. That's a widow if they don't have a husband. Make sense? Real simple to me. And we just put them all together and say, let's minister to them in unique ways. Now, you put them all together in the sense of definition of widows, but you minister them in unique ways, okay? We're not dehumanizing them, okay? And I leave that question to you. Do we need to be more organized or not? If you think so, let's put sticky on the back future section there, and we'll see what your answer is there, and we'll go from there. The Lord's heart is with single moms. Do you believe that? I don't know if I've made a good case for that or not this morning. But I do know that you know some single moms today, and you've heard the stories. They may not be single moms. They may just be out without their husband. But I've heard stories where people are in line, and they get up to pay for something, and guess what? Somebody already paid for it. Whether it's at a grocery store, at a restaurant, maybe you were that somebody that did that. You know, you've got it at Taco Bell, right? Somebody comes up and pays for the person behind, they pay it for quite a bit. Yeah, quite a bit. Isn't that cool? So you could do that. I know people have seen mothers struggling with their children, and they walk up and hand them some money or give them a sweet or something. I know that too. But whatever you can do to help single moms, let's start doing that today. And that woman that's been like a mom to you, you can thank as well, be it a single mom or not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the mercies you show us each day. Thank you for the wonderful opportunities we have here at Valley Bible Church to minister to single moms. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you allow us the privilege of continuing to do that. We have many wonderful people who do a lot of things behind the scenes who are unheralded heroes, people who do what I've asked them to do, even this morning. I'm embarrassed not to name them, but to name them would embarrass them. So I pray, Father, a blessing upon them, that you'll enliven their lives and enrich their lives, that you'll continue to bless them financially so they can be a blessing to others. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've given us here at Valley Bible so many wonderful people who do these things. Father, let us not neglect the widows. Let us not neglect the single moms. Let us be mindful of them. And as you prompt us to do that, we may not have silver or gold, but what we have, may we give, so that Jesus will be honored and the word of God may not be maligned. And it's in Jesus' name we all pray together and say, amen. Enjoy your day with your moms.